Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Paul Downs is here. Paul is a new friend. He's the owner of Paul Downs Cabinet Makers. He's been doing that now for about 30 years. How about that? He's the a fellow columnist at Forbes.com and been doing that for a while, formerly with moved over from the New York Times. What he wrote about what it's like to be a boss, to run a small business. His new book is called Boss Life, Surviving My Own Small Business. Boy, how many of you out there can relate to that title? And he's our new friend, Paul Downs. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. When I read your title, Boss Life, Surviving My Own Small Business, you could probably see all the heads nodding out there.
Well, I'll tell you, the book's actually been out for about a year. The paperback is just coming out this week, and I've heard from hundreds of readers who said, wow, thank you for finally laying out a story that sounds like my life.
Right. I wrote an article a few years ago about the day in the life of a small business, and so it was from the time that the alarm went off at 5 o'clock in the morning until he laid his head back, or she laid their head back down at midnight the end of the day, and it was sort of like an hour-by-hour accounting. You did that with your book over a period of a year, didn't you?
That's right. And I decided when I was given the opportunity to write a book to try to tell the story that I'd never seen, because I've read a lot of business books, and there are always advice about how to get rich from someone who thinks they're smarter than you. And I make no claim to be smart, and I definitely am not rich, but I did feel like I had a story to tell in just laying out for readers what it's like to try to keep a business open over the course of an entire year.
Well, let's go back a little farther back, though. Let's go back to the mid-80s. You're in college, and you graduate, and what are you thinking? You got your new your diploma in the folder there, and what were you thinking at that point?
Well, I was sort of saying, "Woo, glad that's over," because I'd been in school my whole life, pretty much. And I was anticipating that I would go on to graduate school at some point, but I did not want to go immediately. And I had some thoughts of becoming an architect, and I decided that it would be useful for any architect to know something about construction. So I went and found a job on a construction site as the lowest status member, just the guy hauling stuff around.
You were the grunt.
Yep, and I was assigned to work with a Finnish carpenter, and this gentleman was constantly going on about how much fun it would be to be a furniture maker and how much better it would be than being a carpenter. And I was like, well, you talked me into it. I'm going to try that. And
You were just a hunk of clay waiting to be molded, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, at 22 years old, there's not much to lose in trying things.
That's the time to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had a girlfriend, but no wife, no mortgage, no kids, and a couple of $1,000 that I'd inherited from my grandmother. And so I was like, I'm going to give that a go. And I had never done it, didn't know how to do it. But
so you didn't, and you didn't know you weren't supposed to, did you?
No, not really. That's not the way I'm wired, you know.
But I mean, how many times have you felt that way? Somebody said, Paul, how did you do that? And you said, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, that one thing about furniture in particular is that there's no licensing required. There's no rules. You don't have to register. You don't really have to do anything.
Other than working with this gentleman on that site, had you had any woodworking experience before?
No, none.
So I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking, Paul?
Well, I had been making things for a long time.
Yeah.
And really when I checked out, you know, my first thought was, well, everybody buys furniture at some point, so there must be a place for me. And then the second thing was looking into it. It's not a theoretically complex field of endeavor. Like,
right.
You can read a book and like, okay, I understand the basics of what needs to be done. And, of course, what I wasn't anticipating was that I needed to build a business as well,
right,
as just chairs and tables.
You couldn't just make me a furniture manufacturer. You had to be a business owner, too.
That's right. And so I very quickly confronted the idea that you have to come up with products and you have to market them and you have to sell them.
And capitalize the whole thing.
Yeah, and this was back in the 80s when it was hard to do all that. Now, capitalization, it doesn't take much money to get started in furniture. You know, $500 will get you the tools that you can make something with. So that wasn't as much of an issue. But it was more finding customers. It was just hard to do back then.
But when I say capitalizing, of course, $500 to start is one thing, but keeping it going, the cash flow going, when you have to buy supplies and pay employees and things like that, that's the capitalizing I'm talking about,
right.
which you talk about in your book extensively.
Yeah, well, because I've basically run my business for 30 years on straight cash flow, that there's been a couple of injections of capital, but not it hasn't
right.
amounted to a
well,
huge
cash flow,
money.
But obviously you're profitable. Because you can't work on cash forever. You have to make a profit and retain some earnings, right?
Well, occasionally. well, here's another way to do it, which is that if you can get deposits from clients, and you can continually grow your income in sales, you can actually operate at a loss for a long time. It's almost like
right.
a self-funding Ponzi scheme,
mm-hmm.
and if you can keep it going. You can keep going for a very long time. I've had periods of years and years and years where we were growing fast enough that incoming cash sort of made up for the deficits in production.
Right.
And you get caught eventually.
Because if you stop growing, you're out of business.
Yeah. A recession is tough. But, part of my story is never shut the doors. You know,
mm-hmm.
like it always get in there and stay open till tomorrow and something might happen. And
yep.
I've been through some very, very bad moments, but I have never shut the doors, and so my doors
mm-hmm.
are still open.
That's the key. At the beginning of 2009, I told my audience, your singular goal for this year is one thing, open your doors January 1, 2010.
Oh, my. Well, that is so right on, because 2009 was the worst year of my life.
It was the worst. It was the worst for everybody.
Yeah, but, I went from 22 employees in the fall of 2008 to 6 by the end of 2009.
Yeah, I believe it. Hold on to that thought. You got a website quickly, Paul?
Yes, pauldowns.com.
PAULDOWNS.com. The book is called Boss Life, and you can find it wherever books are sold. Out now in paperback. 20 after, right back. With Paul Downs, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.